Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Rahim, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Khususan ala sayyidi ar-rusul wa khatam al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya. Amma ba'd. One of the most beautiful things about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the fact that he was always available to anyone who needed to reach out to him. If people saw him in the masjid, he was easily approachable. They would be able to walk up to him and ask him their question, have a conversation with him, update him about an affair. They didn't have to go through bureaucracy or through years of waiting, as was common with the kings of the world, to have a gathering with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was busy to meet one day, they would catch him the next day. And if he was busy that day, then the day after. It was just a matter of finding the right timing, otherwise they always saw Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he was available to them. And this access to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't only limited to the men of Medina Munawwara. It was available to the women of Medina Munawwara as well. This is something that's very important. Because many of us come from communities and countries where the culture is that Islamic scholarship is only accessible to other men. If you were to go back home and tell people that the women in our communities in America are able to have conversations with the imams of the community, to many of them, that would be offensive, while to others, it would just sound absurd. What are you guys doing out there in America? In America, everything's getting washed down. When the truth of the matter is that if the proper protocol is in place, that's a very important statement. If the proper adab and etiquette is maintained, that interaction, that sharing of knowledge and experience is so important. Where do women learn from? Where do young girls in our community gain their knowledge from? And likewise, yes, we have female scholarship in the Muslim community, which is very valuable, and we need to continue to support it financially and support it within our families. But cutting off women from the educational programming of a community, in my opinion, is one of the biggest mistakes you can make, and is outright dhulm. Because many of these young girls then grow up and they look for Islam. And while they had the opportunity to learn it in the masjid, they weren't given that opportunity. Now they go online and study that Islam. And as we all know, there aren't too many good things that people online have to say about Muslims. And that's just the nature of the whole world. People have a lot of crazy things to say when it comes to online. So we come to a moment where a person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A lady by the name of Khawla bint Tha'labah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting in the gathering. There are people there. Aisha radiallahu anha was one of the people there as well, as we learned from a riwayah Bukhari. There were a group of people there, and this lady walks in. She says, "O Messenger of Allah, I have an issue. The issue is, my husband and I got into a quarrel, as a result of which he said to me, 'Anti alayya ka dhahri ummi.' You are to me like the back of my mother." You know how a person wouldn't be intimate with their parent? A person wouldn't be intimate with their parent. So this is a statement that Arabs would make, very absurd statement, but they would say things like this sometimes to really drive the point of how much they dislike their spouse in that moment. And you know, some scholars refer to statements like this as being the worst form of talaq. It wasn't just a divorce, but it was the most absurd divorce someone can give. That they would say, "Yesterday I was romantically in love with you, and today my love for you is like I have for my mother. It's just compassionate. It's not passionate at all. You're like a stone to me. You don't look attractive at all." It's a very offensive thing to say to someone that you're married to. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he heard this, he said to her. Now by the way, keep in mind, these statements were very common pre-Islam. This in Jahiliyyah, this was considered a divorce. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was now asked, what's the situation here? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that nothing in revelation has been revealed regarding this situation yet. Therefore, the rulings that were prior to Islam will be upheld. This is a very important principle, by the way, that we see in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Islam did not abolish all the laws of Jahiliyyah. Islam only corrected those laws that were out of line. Otherwise, what people were doing prior to Islam, if it did not contradict Islam, Islam upheld them. That you continue doing what you were doing. And this is what we refer to in Islamic law as urf, the common practices of people. So based off of that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, continue. The divorce occurs. Because the previous practice was that such a statement was considered as divorce, so we will maintain it as a divorce. Now generally, when someone says something like this to you, you accept it and you move on. She wasn't buying it. She says, "O Messenger of Allah, I have children with him. If my children go to him, they will get wasted. And if they come to me, if they stay with me, I don't have a spouse to support me, they'll die of hunger. So it's a lost loss if we get separated. Reconsider." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to her, "There's no revelation revealed, and the previous ruling was that such a statement was a divorce, so it'll be a divorce." He repeats what he said. She continues to insist, and she says, "O Messenger of Allah, you must reconsider. I gave my youth to him. Children were born from my womb for him. I gave him everything that I had, and today when I lose my beauty, he walks away from me with such foul words. Not even saying talaq to me, but saying statements like this and walking away. Reconsider." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says the same thing again. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says the same thing again, that there's nothing to reconsider. The matter is done. So then she says, now this is an interesting statement. She says, that if Muhammad won't listen to me, then I will call out to the Lord of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam won't listen, who will I call out to? The Rabb of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The other Sahaba were sitting there and they're thinking, what is she going to do? And in that moment, she raises her hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and she says, "Ya Allah, you listen to my call and reveal something regarding this matter and clear my affair." She has her hands raised and she's calling to Allah in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that gathering. The companions try to tell her, slow down a little. She says, "I don't want to listen to anyone. I'm just going to complain to Allah." And she's calling out to Allah. And as she's making dua, she notices Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bow his head down. Sweat begins to perspire. Someone says to her, revelation's coming. She turns to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifts his forehead and smiles at her. And he says to her, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just revealed some verses of the Quran for you. قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ Surah Mujadilah. Mujadilah means the one who comes to argue, the one who comes to plea, the one who comes to discuss, engage. Tahawur is two people engaging in discussion. Muraja'ah. وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوَرَكُمَا And Mujadilah is a form of Tahawur. Tahawur is when two people engage in a discussion. And Mujadilah is when you present a proof in line with your discussion, meaning you're providing arguments again and again. This surah is named after this lady, Khawla bint Thalaba. And the opening verse of the surah is regarding her. قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا Indeed, Allah has heard the statement of the lady who was arguing with you regarding her husband. وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوَرَكُمَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ Indeed, Allah has heard the lady that was discussing with you regarding the affair of her husband, وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ And then she complained directly to Allah. The ayat's very clear. وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوَرَكُمَا And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heard your conversation back and forth. And that's why that riwayah of Bukhari that I referenced earlier, of Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, all praises to Allah who heard the voice of this lady in Medina Munawwara from above the seven heavens. That Allah is saying, وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوِرَكُمَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heard your conversation back and forth. This is the first verse of Surah Mujadilah. One day Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, during his khalifa, was with a group of people. He is the khalifa, he is the Amir al-Mu'mineen. Some people are with him. And there was a lady walking past, she flagged Umar radiallahu anhu down. Senior lady. Umar radiallahu anhu, he stopped. He was a khalifa. If he stopped, the people with him are also going to stop. They can't move on, can they? I mean, he's the Amir al-Mu'mineen out of respect, so they all stopped. This lady calls Umar radiallahu anhu. She says to him, قَدْ كُنْتَ تُدْعَى عُمَيْرٌ I remember the day that people used to call you Umair. Umair means a small Umar. Like Hussein means a small Husn. تَصْغِيرٌ It's to make something, to minimize something. It's a minimal form. So she says, قَدْ كُنْتَ تُدْعَى عُمَيْرٌ I remember the day that you were Umair. Small Umar. فَقَدْ قِيلَ لَكَ عُمَرٌ And now then people started calling you Umar. ثُمَّ قِيلَ لَكَ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ And now you've become Amir al-Mu'mineen. You know that Ammu in the community, that auntie in the community who saw you grow up. And no matter how big you become, they will always say, I remember when you were a kid. So she says to Umar radiallahu anhu, I remember when you were a kid. And then she says to him, Ittaqillaha. Be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she starts advising him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the elders in our community, in our communities for having that rahmah, that mercy. That every now and then they'll stop us and share two words of advice. And sometimes their advice is unfiltered. And that's the beauty of it. The beauty is that they're willing to speak their heart because they're tired of, you know, the fluffy wishy-washy talk. So she gives very clear, blunt advice to Umar radiallahu anhu. And this conversation went on for a prolonged period. Finally, she gives her salam and she leaves. Umar radiallahu anhu returns back and everyone's waiting there saying, Amir al-Mu'mineen, what was that all about? You stood there for so long while this old lady was scolding you? He said, had she scolded me all day, I would have listened to her. Because she was the one whose complaint was heard from above the seven heavens. That was Khawla bint Thalaba. The one whose complaint Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heard. And if Allah listens to her, Umar will listen to her. I will stand here all day and listen to every word that she has to say. This is a story of Khawla bint Thalaba. So many stories, and so many lessons within this story. I think one of the big lessons is, and it's an important, relevant lesson, that how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam treated every member of the community equally, giving them all opportunity. And if I could rant for 30 seconds, and with that I'll end. I don't know what's happened to the Muslim community today. The Muslim community today, in particular the men, have become super macho. And if you tell them that women have rights in Islam, they get all arrogant and they become very angry and frustrated. People who are standing in our front saf in our masajid, when their women come and tell you how they are treated at home, it's a shame. I kid you not, it's a pure shame. I've heard cases where women say that my husband doesn't even address me with respect at home. He treats me worse than a servant at home. Doesn't show any love at home. And then when I try to speak back to him, he threatens with me a divorce at home. He instigates the children against me at home. Sometimes, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, we hear cases where he hits me at home. I don't even know what to say. And the weird thing about all of this is, one thing is that someone has some, you know, issue going on and they need help. But the worst part is when people use religion to justify it. If anyone here thinks that religion promotes abusing your wife, please come and see me in the office after we're done. I would really like to talk to you. And maybe if you have some inspiration, you can share with us, the Ummah, too. We're trying to figure out where you're getting this stuff from. Right? If you have something wrong with yourself, sort it out. But don't drag Allah and Rasul into this argument. And I really mean that. You're already giving yourself a bad deal and you're messing it up for your children and your family. Everyone knows about what kind of successful life children have who grow up in trauma, right? Sarcasm. Like, it doesn't work out. So, in all honesty, if I could summarize this issue and end my rant here, look at the love, respect, and honor Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to the women of his community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Look at the honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to this lady. And look at the honor that Umar radiallahu anhu gave to this lady. I mean, the way of phrasing it would be Umar radiallahu anhu, the Prophet of Allah, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Look at all of them. May Allah azza wa jalla give us tawfiq and open our eyes as well. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.